All right. So how many parade fans out there? Anybody going to the parade? Oh, wow. Like nobody's going to the parade. Wow. Well, I'm not either, I don't think. So I guess I'd join the crowds. I guess one more disclaimer I'll share. Does anybody suffer from ragweed allergies? There's some hands. This week they started, and it was brutal. My eyes start itching, and so I take Zyrtec D, and that makes my mouth dry. That's not good for speaking for 30 minutes straight. So if I just start talking like this, that's why. And for the next 6 weeks or so, ask for your grace. I brought some water. Might drink more of that, but I apologize in advance. Today we're doing kind of the last topic for this series of being called by God. We're talking about being called to specific causes. Next week we'll have a bit of a commissioning service of some sort, just a chance to invite God into that in some intentional ways and to pray over us as a church body and to truly be sent out to pursue these things, these tasks and people and places and causes that God has put onto our heart. So look forward to that next week. What am I meaning when I say we're being called to specific causes? Really, any social justice issue, anything that needs reconciliation in our society, anything that could benefit from the presence of the gospel, a place that we could step in and be an advocate for justice, any system or person or structure that's broken because of the world. So that's what I'm hoping we can bring to the forefront of our minds. I'm not going to be advocating for any specific cause this morning. I think the best approach is that we all go before God with a blank slate and invite Him to put onto our heart whatever it is that He's calling us to as individuals. All of us have different passions and interests. We're all designed in different ways, so I want God to be able to lead us where He wants us to go. Some examples that might be coming to your mind: poverty, standing up for the poor and the oppressed, the starving, the thirsty, those who go unclothed, orphans, sex trafficking, sexual identity and gender issues, racial reconciliation, immigration. There's all sorts of hot topics and maybe some that are not quite as well known, but want you to be just praying about those today and this week, really, as we think about where God's calling us. I think ideally as Christians, we're going to be advocates for all of those in some way, right? Whenever the opportunity presents itself, we stand for what honors God, but we're probably also going to benefit if we can narrow in on a specific cause that interests us so that we can gain more knowledge and understanding of it and study it and have some ability to work in that environment in ways that might really make some progress. This week as I was preparing, I realized there's a few tough realities that I just wanted to mention. If we're going to be pursuing these causes, I think a tough reality is that it's not going to be easy. It's going to cause some stress because what we're doing is stepping into some environment that's broken, right? It's fractured. It's not working well. That's why there's oppression. That's why people are being overlooked. It's hardship. People are hurting. So it's impossible for us to step into that environment and engage with those people and not take on some sort of stress, some sort of suffering, if you will, because we're engaged with those people. It's going to require a lot of patience. So it's going to, we're probably going to have to sacrifice resources. At some point, more than likely, we're going to get burned. You know, I think of the world as the furnace where Christians are refined. We're seeking after Christ in a world that goes a different direction. The illustration I'll use today throughout the message is the idea of a stream with its current flowing pretty aggressively. If the stream going, if the people going downstream is like the world, then those who are going upstream are those who are seeking after Christ. We're going against the current in this world. We see that throughout Scripture, and if that's happening in our lives, there's going to be a bit of, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some friction as we're moving in that direction. And at this point, I think oftentimes there's a question that begins to surface. Is that really what God is calling us to as Christians? A hard life? A life that has suffering and hardship and added stress? Is that what God's calling us to do? Just to pursue these hard things? And I think we probably wouldn't answer it in that way, that, yeah, God's just calling us to do hard things. Like that, there's probably some foolishness in that, just doing something because it's difficult. But God is calling us to follow after Jesus. And throughout Scripture, we see that Jesus is going upstream. He's going against the current. So if we're seeking after Jesus, we're probably going to be led into some of these areas, and that's going to bring some hardship and suffering. So in some ways, yes, I do believe Scripture is saying that living the Christian life in a world that doesn't stand for Christ is going to bring some suffering and hardship. That's what we do as followers of Christ. As I mentioned, we use the illustration of rivers flowing. If you know me, I like to be outdoors. I like to do some backpacking, to be in the mountains. I've gone across a couple rivers that, you know, they're flowing pretty aggressively. The current's going pretty strong. And you know, if you've been in that situation, it doesn't take a lot of water for it to become dangerous, right? It just takes 1 or 2 feet of water can be pretty dangerous if it's flowing fast enough. So if you want to stay on track and you need to get across the river, you're going to have a firm footing, right? You need a firm foundation. And typically, if I'm doing this, I try and find something I can hold on to, whether it's a branch or a log that's fallen across and it goes over the river, or maybe it's a stick you use. But you want to stay on track. Now, at any point, you could just kind of let go and drift downstream and go with the current and flow with the water. But if you want to get where you want to go, you're going to have to work upstream. You're going to have to fight against the current a little bit. And I think it's playing out the same way in our lives spiritually. If we want to get where we're called to go, if we want to stay on track, we're going to have to push against the currents of the world. We're going to have to push against the resistance. Now, we have the opportunity to let go and go with the flow and to absorb the values of the world, just being comfortable, having a good time while we can, maybe achieving some accomplishments, growing our status, whatever it is, we can fall into that. But if we're going to seek after Christ, there's going to be some resistance. So that's what we'll be looking at today, the reality that if we're seeking after these causes, there's going to be some hardship along with it. But in the end, that's a good thing. That's a victory in the kingdom of God. So the text that we'll read is 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19, just two verses today. So let me pray for us, and then I'll read through this. Father God, we just come before you now, and we open up your word, which we do every week. We do trust it to be true, so we pray that it would be shaping our lives and our hearts and our minds. God, we pray that, that you would accomplish something this morning that is more than words spoken or words heard. That you would really be changing our hearts if we need them to be changed. Lord, if we've grown too comfortable in this world, I pray that you would just give us a desire to have your heart, which is going to lead us into some difficult situations more than likely. And God, if you lead us there, that we would just have a greater understanding of your grace and your goodness and your faithfulness, and that we'll see the reality that our weakness is your strength, and that is a proclamation of the good news in some powerful ways. So God, we pray that as we seek after these causes that you put onto our hearts, that it be beneficial for your kingdom, for bringing the lost into new life, and just revealing the light of Christ in dark places. So God, just pray that you'd go before us during this time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 3, 18 and 19. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Read it one more time since it's short. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. So this week had an unusually hard time deciding what text to use for this message. Way back when I was planning the series, I had jotted down Micah 6:8. talks about justice and mercy and walking humbly with the Lord. James chapter 1, caring for orphans and for widows. And just kept looking at different texts, and I kept going back to 1 Peter and decided that 1 Peter is a fantastic book for addressing the reality of enduring some hardship for kingdom causes. Now, 1 Peter, Peter's really writing to these believers who had been exiled, and I think they're receiving direct persecution. They're receiving, you know, some hardship that's being pointed at them as individuals for believing what they believe. And I think as we seek after these causes, it's a different sort of suffering, but the root issue is still the same. It's still rooted in sin, and there's still going to be hardship. So this book, I would encourage you to really to read through 1 Peter. It's not very long if you're wrestling with this idea of being called to specific causes, and there's a great deal to be learned and to gather from this about just suffering and standing for Christ. So those other passages talk about what we might be called to. We stand for justice. We stand for mercy. We walk in humility. We're called to orphans. We're called to widows. That's what we're going to do. The idea there is that we're meant to jump in the stream, right? But I think all of us would agree that we're meant to jump in the stream. We know we're meant to walk upstream. We get that, I think, generally speaking. We know that's the call that God has given to us. So if that is the call that God has given to us, what I want to know, if it's going to cause me some hardship, some stress, my marriage, some hardship or stress, my family, some hardship or stress, if it's going to lead to that, then there better be good reason why we're doing it, right? Why should we get into this water? Why should we walk upstream? So we're going to look at three reasons today why we should be doing this. The first one, we should stand in hard places because Jesus did it for us. You see that at the very beginning of the text. Christ also suffered once for sins. We're not alone. The second one, because it creates an opportunity for us to bring people to God. You see in the text, it says that Christ, that he might bring us to God. Thirdly, because it creates an opportunity for us to proclaim the gospel. You see in the text, he became alive in the Spirit, and what did he do? He went to prison and proclaimed the good news to a place of death. So, the first one, Christ also suffered for us. Christ also suffered once for sins. Why should we do it? Why is it better to suffer? Because Jesus suffered for our sins. So why did Jesus step into this risky environment? Why did he come down from heaven to this broken place? Why did he live as the righteous among the unrighteous? He did it so that there would be a possibility that we could experience life, right? That we could be set free. And if that reality has become ours, if we've received that and claimed it to be true, that we've received the righteous one, and he has opened up this door to new life, and we've stepped through that door, and we've obtained new life, then Scripture teaches there's a spiritual reality that takes place. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? When we die to self, we receive Christ. He gifts us with the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit, who was living in Jesus, is now living in us, it's safe for us to conclude that we're probably going to be doing Jesus-like things, right? It's the same Spirit that led Jesus to do everything he did, and now God has imparted that into our lives, the same Spirit living in us. He's going to lead us to do similar things. The Spirit of God is still in us. In a real way, Jesus is still present in the world because he's dwelling inside of us. Scripture says we're all temples, right? So where we go, Christ goes. As we step into broken environments, Christ steps into those broken environments. We have an opportunity to bring him there. 1 John 4:13, it says, "This is how we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." So the same Spirit that was in Christ, he's given it to us. Now we have this opportunity to step into those environments. So Christ suffered for us. We benefited from that. It opened the doorway to freedom. We received it. And now we have the opportunity to suffer for the sake of others. And Christ continues to do that. We really put on display that Christ has suffered for them. We step into these hard places, and it reveals another option for them to pursue. An interesting verse I found this week was Proverbs 28, verse 5. It says, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. That's a bold statement, right? Basically, anyone who doesn't seek after God, anybody who's opposed to God, anybody not on God's team, they don't understand justice. But if you're seeking after the Lord, you understand it completely. This is another reason we experience friction or tension when we're stepping into these environments. We're serving a different form of justice, a different structure of justice than the world is. So there might be different people trying to bring justice to a variety of causes in different ways. But Scripture's saying we are the ones who really know what justice is, because we get justice vertically, not just horizontally, meaning we get justice in how it works spiritually between man and God, not just between man and man or woman and woman. We understand the justice system of God. So are we willing to endure this frustration or hardship temporarily so that others can enjoy Jesus eternally? It's a temporary sacrifice for eternal gain. Are we willing to make that exchange? Scripture's advising that it's worth it. It glorifies God for who he is. Secondly, Jesus did it for us was the first point. What did that accomplish? I mentioned it briefly. What it accomplished for us as Jesus came to earth, Jesus suffered for us. He walked upstream for us. What did that accomplish for us? Verse 18, we can see it here. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He suffered so that he might bring us to God. As I mentioned, he opened up that door of a new option. He put before us new life. He put before us spiritual life, eternal life, a satisfaction that comes from God. So his suffering opened up the doorway of that new possibility. And that's what we get to do as we step into these broken places, or we get to know broken people or broken environments. We get to open up the door and give them a new opportunity, a new option to pursue, another source of fulfillment. And this is huge. This is a great reason why we should be willing to walk upstream. This is something the secular world cannot offer. There's no way for them to offer this idea of being brought to God. We get a function as a bridge to fill the gap between the spiritually lost and God himself. That's something unique to Christian people. Jesus brought us to God, and now the Spirit of God lives in us, so we get to participate in that miraculous event of seeing someone go from death to life as we reveal Christ. We should be willing to pursue these specific causes, because if we don't, who's going to bring Christ into those environments? Who's going to bring the message of good news into those places? A story to illustrate this, I remember years back, took a trip to Guatemala, and we were up in the mountains with the indigenous people, very little electricity or anything, and it was actually a medical trip. I was just going as a team leader, so I don't have any medical skills, so they assigned me to the brushing teeth of these children who had never brushed their teeth and ate lots of candy. So they were interesting teeth that I was brushing for a week, but a great opportunity just to meet these children, to share some broken Spanish with them and have dialogue about meaningful things. But I remember there was a couple from Germany who came walking through the village. They were relatively newly married, a pretty young couple, and they were on vacation, both of them, coincidentally, doctors. So they're on vacation, we're doing this medical trip, and they stumble upon us and they say, "Hey, we don't really have an agenda. We're just, you know, backpacking. Can we join you guys for a couple days?" Not many regulations in the mountains of Guatemala, so sure, you can come and join us. And they got to practice medicine for 2 days. Through conversation with them, it came out pretty quickly that they didn't believe in God. They didn't have much spiritual belief at all. But they were great people. You know, they were doing great things. And actually, as they served these children, there were a lot of children who were benefiting from their skills and everything that they were doing for them. They were serving them. They were sacrificing their time. They were doing lots of good things. But spiritually speaking, at the same time, these two people were incapable of bridging the gap between the spiritually lost and God himself. They didn't have a message of good news rooted in Christ. They had no experience of who Christ is. They don't have kingdom values propelling them to do these good works. They're just there serving these children. So what happens in their life, they get to balance the scales of society for a little bit, right? They allow these children in Guatemala who don't have access to medical individuals or any medicine, they raise the balance. So now these children have the same access that American children have. That's the way the world should be, right? Equality, equal access. And they got to balance the scales a little bit, social justice being done. But they were not able to even budge the balance or the scales that exist spiritually, because there's only one person who begins to balance those scales. Jesus is the only one who can right the system of justice between people and God. And he was completely absent. So that's the unique opportunity that we have as we step into these environments and pursue all these different causes. We can not only work to balance the scales of our society that is broken and needs some rebalancing, but we can also balance the scales in God's economy vertically between people and God. You see Jesus get towards the same situation when he went to see the Samaritan woman. I remember Jews don't associate with Samaritans, especially this woman who had had five husbands. She came out to get her water at high noon because it was super hot. And presumably she went out at that time because nobody went to get their water when it's super hot. And none of the other women were out there to make fun of her and to give her nasty looks. But Jesus goes and pursues this woman. And what does he offer her as she sits at the well? She's there for water, right? Jesus, chapter 4, verse 13 of John, he's talking with this woman and he says, "Everyone who drinks this water," speaking about the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now that's the good water, right? Never to be thirsty again. Jesus is saying, you can be satisfied completely. So, while of course she's going to get thirsty again physically, that's part of our existence. We get thirsty. He's saying, you might be thirsty physically, but I'll satisfy you completely spiritually if you just receive this water, this living water. Now, not only will you be satisfied, you'll have a spring flowing from inside you. It doesn't end. It doesn't run dry. It just continues to flow as God provides for every one of your needs. And is it any coincidence that a few verses later, if you continue reading, the disciples come back to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, you need to get some food. You've been out here in the heat doing all this ministry. Like, we've been eating. You need to eat something." And what's Jesus say? "I'm all right. I got food to eat that you know nothing about." And he said, he's using that as an opportunity to teach them. I think he probably was physically hungry, his body, but he saw an opportunity to teach them, just as he taught this woman, "I can give you water that is eternal and living." Jesus is saying, "Well, I have food that's eternal." Every word of God that is spoken to Jesus is his spiritual food. He's completely satisfied. He doesn't need it. That's a message that means you can be in a system of brokenness and injustice and oppression, and you can still be satisfied. That's the message that we have the opportunity to bring. We get to bridge the gap between brokenness and wholeness and darkness and light, and that's a unique opportunity that we have. So if people of the world are the only ones stepping into these environments, we're missing the opportunity to give a gospel presence in these places. So the woman who is traumatized from sex trafficking, or the child who is traumatized from losing family or friends, or the starving and poor, the imprisoned, the immigrants in a foreign land, the sexually confused or the socially lost, all of them can be satisfied in a way that the world cannot offer. And that's the opportunity we have setting before us. There's a source that will allow people to say, "My life is in ruins, but my God is still good." And that is the message that we get to proclaim. The final part of this, the third phase from these two verses, is that as we pursue these causes, as we walk upstream, it provides a means for us to proclaim the gospel. It carves out an opportunity that just sets the stage for us to say who God is. We need to pursue specific causes because as we suffer for others in the flesh, we become increasingly alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 3:18 and 19, the second half of 18. It says, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. So you see there, the dying to self, his physical self, allowed him to come alive spiritually. What did he do immediately after becoming alive spiritually? He went to the prisons and proclaimed life to people who were trapped in death. In our analogy, the world's heading downstream, right? Going with the flow, the values of the world, comfort, pleasure, being accomplished, an enjoyable experience before time runs out. But the Christian ought to be someone who's walking upstream, bearing these wrongs patiently, willing to endure hardship to make Jesus known, willing to give away resources that may have otherwise allowed us to climb a ladder, willing to serve people. This is what Scripture teaches us is dying to self. We see a little more about this. 1 Peter chapter 4, the next chapter, verse 12 and 13. I like what Peter says here. He says, beloved brothers and sisters, church, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're walking upstream, you're pursuing these causes, you're going into hard places, broken places, you're ministering to broken people, don't be surprised when at the fiery trial, when it comes at you and tests you. Don't be surprised when you feel like you're standing in the flames getting burned. Don't be surprised when you're suffering for this. That's what Christ did. That's what he's going to call us to. And not only don't be surprised, but rejoice in it. Rejoice in this hardship. Rejoice in this suffering. Because as you're bearing that, it's lifting up the name of Christ. You think of the apostles. They rejoiced when they were persecuted. Some of the most extreme examples in Acts, they went and were beat physically by the authorities. And it says they left their beating rejoicing because they were they counted it a privilege to bear the name of Christ. That's the attitude that we have as the Spirit of God fills us up, the spring of water that continues to flow. Nothing can clog it up. Nothing can stop the water from flowing. We step into hard environments, and in the midst of it, we can still rejoice because the name of Jesus is being made known. Physically, we're being exhausted. Physically, we might be beat down, but God's going to sustain us through that, and that's the name of Jesus being made known. As I mentioned in the beginning, I think oftentimes we think of suffering just as direct persecution, or someone speaking against your faith, or someone, we read about people being martyred or put into prison. But as I read through 1 Peter, I really think it's a fair application here to use this for being called to causes, because the root issue is still the same. The root issue of the resistance, the suffering that we feel, is still sin and Satan. It's still brokenness in the world. So 1 Peter is speaking directly to a people who are being persecuted directly, and Peter's trying to encourage them. I'm using it to speak to us as we seek out specific causes, because the reality is that resistance, the suffering we endure, is the same root, right? It's all coming from the same source. Scripture says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, powers, and authorities of this dark and evil world. So that's the resistance we're feeling, this pressure that Satan is putting in front of us. Jesus suffered once for the sins of the world, the righteous one for all the unrighteous, so that he might bring them to God. He died in his flesh, became alive in his spirit, so that he could walk into a prison filled with the dead and proclaim life and freedom. It's the same opportunity he's inviting us into, that we would go bear the image of Christ so that people might be set free and come to know God, and we can proclaim that message as we go. So as you go this week, invite you just to be praying about what it is that God might be putting on your heart. What population of people, what cause in our society is broken that weighs heavy on your heart or heavy on your mind, and see how God might lead you into that. Maybe in your time of thinking, praying about this, you feel like, you know what, I've just been floating down the river. I'm just trying to make myself comfortable. I'm just trying to prepare myself for a good existence and maximizing the experience I have. If you're feeling that and you think, it's time for me to turn around. It's time for me to plant my feet, find the firm foundation, and start walking upstream again. Let God know that and just invite him into it. He's going to give you the strength to do it. We can't do it in our own strength. I think that's oftentimes why we throw up our hands and start going with the current, because we get tired and worn out. We're not abiding. Back to the beginning, we got to abide in Christ. Step into the current, find your foundation, head upstream. Let me pray for us as we close.